Breakfast with Benz podcast. Tim Benz with you. It is time for the second annual RMU Hockey Celebrity Face-Off. It's at the UPMC LeMieux Sports Complex on Sunday, January the 15th. That's this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. And joining me right now to talk about it is the head coach of the RMU men's hockey team, Derek Schooley. The return of RMU hockey is coming up next season. The Colonials will be back, both the men's and women's teams. Derek, is it starting to feel real at this point?
Well, now that we're into 2023, obviously, we start on October 7th against Bowling Green. Their women play St. Anselm. So seeing that we're in the right calendar year, it seems like it's getting to the point that we're getting closer to playing. And one of our final big fundraising events next to our summer golf outing is this celebrity game. And last year it was done outstanding. We had an unbelievable turnout, sold out crowd. We're expecting the same. We got great celebrities. And really, this is kind of, last year was a let's save the program. This is a celebration of the program's back, and we need to be ready to go and be ready for October 7th.
You have said ever since the program was reinstated, the programs, both the men's and the women, it was important to continue the fundraising efforts throughout. How much does this event help in that regard?
Well, I think besides fundraising, it helps awareness. Anytime you can get the former Penguins, the media members, everybody out there that'll help support, not just financially, but with public relations for the program is really good. So to have Ryan Malone and Tyler Kennedy and Phil Bourque and Eric Tangrady and go down the list of former Penguins, Kenny Riggett's going to be there, Bob Erie, Steve Mears, those are big time names with associated with the Penguins. Then you throw the media, like yourself. I mean, the only difference between those guys and yourself is that you're not playing.
I'm coaching. Yes. I'm
yeah, going. You're a coach. You and Pursuit is even going to play this year. So we've got he just wants to make sure nobody runs him. But, I mean, to have all these names and people that are involved in hockey and involved in the community is not just big for fundraising, but it's also big for exposure and to be able to keep the Robert Morris hockey name in the forefront.
Derek, you mentioned some of the hockey celebrities associated with the Penguins and associated with the media. How about your own alumni? How many people are coming back for that, for not just your team, but also for Logan Biddle and the women's team?
We've got a good group of alums. We've got players from coming out from all over. Some of the neat stuff is we got two of the women's professional players, Brittany Howard and Lexi Templeman, coming back for the women. And Kristen Welsh, obviously the referee, is refereeing. But we've got players coming from, from as far as St. Louis. Tommy Brooks is coming in, graduated in 2012. We had a big 2012 class. They're almost using it as kind of an alumni reunion. I had a chance to see Brandon Blandina on last Saturday in Buffalo, and him and Furman are going to be disappointed that they're out reffing that weekend. But there's a lot of players coming back from eras earlier. Not only Logan in his era, you got Doug Connolly, who graduated in 07. Sean Bergstresser graduated in 08. Both make their residence in Pittsburgh right now. Denny Urban, an RMU Hall of Famer in 11. And, once again, I think Megan Edie is coming from a long distance in the women's program. So we've got it's really exciting to see the amount of alums coming back and to continue to be a part of it. Matt Cope isn't coming back for the alumni game, and David Friedman won't make it, but they've already talked about renting out the hat trick club or the 1921 club for the opening game. So the alums are excited the program's back, and we couldn't do it without their support.
How are you feeling interest and awareness is tracking? You referenced that earlier in Pittsburgh. Beyond the alumni base that you have, how do you feel about people catching on that the team is coming back?
Well, season ticket sales and season ticket inquiries were outstanding. If we keep trending the way it is, we'll be probably 75% sold out before we even drop the puck. And then we'll leave some open for students and some individual game purchases. But it's been great. We need to keep going. We need to keep everybody. The problem was, Tim, it wasn't the fact that We were back. It's just, there was just such a long lag time. And I understand why, to continue the fundraising, to make sure we had a chance to go out and get enough hockey players and to get the right hockey players. But it's just, there was such a long lag time from December of 2021 to when we're actually playing in October of 23. So to be able to keep our name in the forefront has been challenging, but the Pittsburgh College Hockey Foundation has done outstanding work in putting on events. The media has kept us in the forefront. Thank you. And, you know, to have, you know, Mike Pursuta involved. I'm going to be on Mark Madden's show later today. It's just, you can't say enough about the support that we've received moving forward.
Derek, let's also get into the team rebuilding aspect of what you're doing right now. And again, I'll plug it, the second annual RMU Hockey Celebrity Face-Off, Sunday, 4:30 at the Lemieux Sports Complex in Cranberry. As far as the rebuilding goes, how's that taking place, not just for you, but for the women as well?
I think it's a little bit farther along for the women. They don't need as many players, and the transfer portal isn't as prevalent as in the women's game as it is in the men's game. We're about halfway in the men's. We've got 14 players, freshmen, and the six that are on campus. We want to get probably close to a half dozen to, a dozen, 12 players from the transfer portal. And the transfer portal doesn't open up until the middle of March, the Monday after the selection show. So we're kind of in a holding pattern. We need probably three more freshmen. We want to see what's in the transfer portal before we go out and you know, move along. And that's how we're going to differentiate our classes, to put, you know, to get some seniors, the fifth year guys, to get some juniors, to be able to spread those out, because we don't want to have 28, 29 players in one class like we did in 2004. The game has changed. Recruiting has changed. Everything has changed. So the transfer portal will play big for the men's program, and the women still get probably five or six as well. So I think we're all just kind of waiting towards that transfer portal date and then see what we can get out of there and compared to what's left in the recruiting world.
Derek, for guys that are in the portal, before they get there, how do you monitor them, stay in touch with them, guys that maybe you recruited before, maybe guys that are on the team before? Do you have to stay away and make zero contact? I mean, what are the rules as far as preparing for the transfer portal as a coach?
Zero contact. We can't have any contact. Obviously, they have agents and advisors, and they're sending emails not just to me, to all over, saying, hey, this kid is probably going to be in the portal. You also want to predict a little bit. You know, you look and you see who hasn't played as much at other places, or who's not having the success or put in the roles they wanted to be in when you think they were going into college. So you got to monitor a little bit. It's a little moneyballish. And we've got to do some tracking and be prepared. But there are some advisors and agents out there that do float names. But the thing is, they're not just floating it to us. They're floating it to everybody. So once the transfer portal opens on that Monday, it's going to be like free agency. And there's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some people that you know that are in the transfer portal, according to their advisors. There are going to be some of those people that the advisors tell you they're going to go in the portal and they're not. So you've got to just be prepared for anything come that Monday in March after the selection show. And it's going to be like free agency. The only difference between this and real free agency is you don't know whose contract's expiring because you can find it could be just any random person. And you go, wow, he's in there. And then you got to make, you got to make sure that you're ready to jump on it.
Is hockey as direct of a correlation between player A goes to team B, so then player C might get upset and leave? I guess that might be the case for a goalie, but what about skaters? Because you see that a lot of times in the football and basketball ranks, that if a player of a somewhat similar position comes to the team, then a certain other player might bounce out. Do you see a lot of that in hockey, or is it a little less fluid in that regard?
It's a little less fluid. I think you're looking at people who aren't put in the roles that they expected when they went into college, expected to be on the power play. I'll use Jordan Timmons, for example. When we got Jordan a couple of years ago, Jordan was a big-time goal scorer in the USHL, was a power play guy. He went to UConn and was used in half the games each year, his first freshman and sophomore year, and then and scored no goals because he was a fourth liner, didn't play in those special team roles. Came right to us. We put him in a power play role. First game, scores a power play goal. We knew where he scored his goals from, and we just needed to use him. And that's not to say that UConn, who had a very successful team, they just might have had players better than him in that time. So you got to have an idea of what their strengths are and if they've been put in those roles. And if they have, then they'll probably stay. If they haven't, there's a chance that some of those players will hit the transfer portal.
Derek, I don't know what you're allowed to say about who you have right now. I know we were allowed to talk to some of the players earlier who are currently on the team, enrolled, and practicing with you guys. I thought that was a very interesting piece that we posted about how your teams are practicing, even though they have no games to practice for this year. But as far as the goalies go, do you have anybody locked up yet, or do you play the transfer game heavy with the goaltenders?
That's an area where we can play the transfer game heavily with in goaltenders. You saw it a couple years ago with Justin Kapelmaster. I think you can get a fifth year or a grad student in goal, and then potentially move into a younger guy to carry the mail after that grad student's gone. So I think that transfer portal will be heavily in goal for sure.
You know, it's funny, I do some stuff for Duquesne University as well, doing their football and their basketball, and I'll look at opposing rosters. I haven't quite seen this yet for Duquesne, but I'll look at opposing rosters and I'll see kids that will leave a school and come back now because the transfer portal is what it is. I know you can't identify or talk to these guys as you talked to before. Would any of your former kids be willing to come back to play, or have they aged out to the point that most of them wouldn't be able to come back even if they could?
Well, our big class that was going to be seniors, they've exhausted their eligibility. That was the Brendan McCallions, the Spellises, the Adamos. They're used their fifth year up. The classes after that, I can't reach out or talk to them, but you know, they got to go on the portal first, and then we'll talk and see if it's a right fit. I mean, there's a lot to play into those kids coming back. Is how many credits does our school accept from other places? Does it put them behind to where they're not going to graduate in time? There's a lot of factors go into the transfer portal. It's not just as easy as saying, hey, we'll take you. You have to make sure classes transfer. You have to make sure progress towards degrees met. You have to make sure, and it's a fit academically. We might not have some of their majors if they've switched different things. So to be able to say, yeah, it's just as easy as those kids coming back, it's not. Would we obviously talk to them? Absolutely. They were going to be part of a really good team, but you can't say if anybody are going to be even looking to leave, because I'm sure they're happy where they're at, and they're closer to graduating.
You know, it used to be I would only see 24-year-old college athletes if I was covering hockey, or like back when I was in Salt Lake and I covered BYU. Now I see them all the time. It's all over college sports now.
Well, Gavin Goulash played 1 year for us. He's got, in the last 2 years, he stayed at Robert Morris, and he will have the ability to play 4 more years. He's right now currently almost 24 years old. If he used all his eligibility, which I don't think he will, he could be a 28-year-old senior, which would be crazy.
That is unbelievable. That used to be a story like you'd see on SportsCenter for a guy at a Division II football school that came back to play or something like that. You know, like, and now you see it all the time. It's I'm not going to say it's common. Like, that's a little bit of an outlier, but it's trending in that direction, if nothing else.
Yeah, and it, I don't think, I don't think Gavin, he's already finished 3 years of school. He's not, what's he going to get, his doctorate or a double master's? So we're going to sit there and do what's best for them academically, and sooner or later they have to get on with their lives. So it's not like Rodney Dangerfield from Back to School.
All right, Derek, before we go, how are the kids that are practicing right now? Like I said, it was a fun piece to write, the women's team and the men's team practicing together, preparing their skills for next year, but not practicing for games. How's that still working out? Are they still as focused and determined as they once were, or is the grind of not having a game to practice for wearing on them?
Well, I mean, they had a long break. They had a long Christmas break from finals to the start of school. There was no need to rush them back. So they're back at it. We started back this week. They started back on the ice Tuesday. A little rusty. And obviously Maggie Hatch, our goaltender that you featured in that article, she's playing with Team USA up in the World University Games in Lake Placid. So It's neat to watch Maggie have success, and it's neat to be able to see her put on a Team USA jersey when they start playing on Thursday. So it the girls and guys are getting itchy. Let's put it that way.
Well, Derek, thanks for the time. What else should they know about when it comes to the celebrity game at 4:30 on Sunday? Are there autographs? Is there an opportunity to meet and greet? Well, what will they be getting if they go up there?
Yeah, there's a meet and greet session, a VIP session that includes drinks, and you get a reserved seat, tabletop, or a loge seat with a meet and greet after, light dinner, appetizers, drinks. They get to meet all the celebrities. That's the VIP pass. But other than that, a good time. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. And the only thing that they won't get is be able to see you on ice. And that's the biggest thing that I think would really guarantee a complete sellout is if you put the skates on. But they'll have to settle with Pursuta, and obviously you and Madden will behind the bench coaching.
Well, I think I would be a stand in front of the goaltender, you know, try to deflect some pucks in front of the net type of player. But it's not because of my size and my ability to screen. It's just that once I got there, I couldn't go back. So I probably
That's Pursuta too. So yeah. Don't worry about it.
All right, Derek, look forward to it. General admission, $20. Reserve general admission, $35. It's at the UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex in Cranberry, January 15th. That's this Sunday, the second annual RMU Celebrity Face-Off. Be there for it. Derek Schooley, head coach of the RMU hockey team.